Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Throwback Thursdays, Fancast Fridays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. I am Dallas, a.k.a. the Zahir of the Creative Differences Podcast.
And I'm Cassie, and we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which name I wanted to use. I like Zahir.
I like Zahir. I just feel like, you know, you do not embody Zahir.
No, probably not. Probably not. Anyway, Demi and Gabby, they're not here, but we are. Welcome to the podcast. Last week was them. This week is us. Was not intentional. Yeah. Or maybe not last week. Whenever the last episode came out, it might have been last week. Who knows? Time doesn't matter. But we switched off. Yeah. They got Odyssey. We got Avatar.
We won.
I prefer this one. Not to say, I'm not comparing the movies because I haven't seen Odyssey yet, but if I had to choose which one I'm going to be there for, it's Avatar. Avatar gang. Gang with two A's. Haha. Anyway, to me and Gabby, they said, quote, "If it ain't Zutara, I don't want it."
That they decided sounds
going to be here today.
Correct.
Right? And as you know, between Zutara and Raylo, Gabby is a fan of fictional women being shipped with dudes who have tried to kill them and their friends.
Crazy work.
So, you know, that's her bag. She's all about it. Crazy work. So yeah, like I said, we're talking about Avatar Aang, The Last Airbender. And that's pretty much it. We're just reviewing that. Not a whole lot has come out since last episode and this episode. And this is what we got. Before we get into it, like, share, subscribe, hype, click, copy, paste. That's everything. Because I don't think there are a lot of movie podcasts giving you reviews specifically about this movie. There might be. I haven't checked.
Probably not, though. Imagine because it's sandwiched between The Odyssey and Spider-Man. I feel like, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people were probably like, we'll just wait for Spider-Man. Maybe throw this in there. And I thought about that too. But no, we are better. So we're keeping it going. We're consistent. Please subscribe. All right. Avatar Aang, The Last Airbender. This is a very simple title, but it has been giving me trouble. Because I was like,
it's so close to the original.
I think it's called The Legend of Aang at some point.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So I've been calling it that. And I was like, wait, is it called Aang The Last Airbender or Aang
just
the
add
Avatar?
Aang to the original
Avatar
title.
You're right. Simple when you say it out loud. Anyway, Avatar Aang, The Last Airbender. It is directed by Lauren Montgomery. She is, for me, a very well-known and prolific director of animation. She's done a lot of the DC animated stuff. She did Batman Year One. She did Justice League Doom, which I love. And she did that Catwoman short where Catwoman does a striptease on a pole. And great. She made that Green Lantern movie that's kind of like Training Day. I told you guys about it like 6 years ago when we were doing that quarantine rewatch, quarantine, we'll be watching thing. Don't worry if you don't remember. Who does?
Well, you do.
Anyway, I like her a lot. She makes a lot of cool animated stuff. And the movie is written by Tim Hedrick and Christopher Yost. Tim Hedrick wrote for The Last Airbender series, and he wrote for The Legend of Korra, so it makes sense that he would be here. He also wrote something called, I think, like Fast and the Furious Super Spies. I think it's like a cartoon about Fast and the Furious.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. Yeah, good for Tim. And Christopher Yost wrote Max Steel. He also wrote Thor the Dark World and Thor Ragnarok. So maybe that's why Taika showed up.
Hi.
He's like, hey, Chris, you working on the Avatar? And the movie stars Eric Nam, Dave Bautista, Jessica Matten, Roman Zaragoza, Dion Kwan, Taika Waititi, like I said, Geraldine Viswanathan, Dee Bradley Baker, of course, Steven Yeun, Frida Pinto, and Ki Hui Kwan. Lots of people. There's a lot of people in this movie.
Yep.
And the IMDb summary is, Avatar Aang, the world's last airbender, learns of an ancient power that could save his culture from extinction. With the help of his friends, he embarks on a global quest to find it before it falls into the wrong hands. Yep.
Yeah.
Avatar.
That's what happens.
All right. Initial thoughts. I think this is dope. I am very happy. I liked it a lot. I am annoyed with Paramount. We will get to that. Cassie, what are your initial thoughts?
I thought this was fine.
All right.
I don't think I can say I really liked it all that much. I mean, like, it was beautiful to look at, but in terms of, like, mainly plot, I was just like, this is not doing... I've seen this before, and I don't care to see it again. So,
I do think most of what I liked was stylistic and visual. Like, it looks beautiful. And a lot of what like about the show, to be honest, the show, obviously, it's a whole freaking TV show. So, you're going to get more. I got more out of the story of the show over the course of watching it.
Yeah.
But a lot of what really makes the show stand out for me and why I enjoyed it so much is the way they animate the bending, the way they animate the fight scenes, way it looks. So that being done very well was a big part of this for me, and I was very happy to get that. But yeah, in terms of the story and characters, I liked how it felt very much like this is Team Avatar. Like, they're older, but I think Toph still feels like Toph. I'm the best airbender in the world. Yeah. Sokka's being Sokka. He's silly. Yeah, I don't need to go through everyone and just say they're them. I enjoyed that very much. In terms of the actual story of the movie, like the story we're dealing with, it does kind of feel like, all right, I know what's happening here. I've seen this story told in different things.
My problem with it was that I've seen this story told in Avatar before.
Yeah.
And so I was like, why are we doing this again? So this is one of those things where, like, this is the movie, and it takes place in between the shows, and major things happen, and those things are never referenced in the stuff that happens later. And so I have that question of, do we just collectively decide, no, we're not going to talk about it?
That is always trouble when you make something, like you said, timeline-wise in between these two things. Like, oh, this seems like something that would have come up in conversation at some point. Like when the Denied, when they're like, we're tired of the benders having all the power, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I was thinking, oh, they're like Amon. Wait, this is before Amon.
Yeah, heard that.
But obviously when they were making Amon, they didn't have that to pull from. But it's like, yeah, so it was like.
Yeah, I also, real talk, do you know why they're called the Denied? Like, my partner was just like, oh, it's probably because they don't have bending. And I'm like, yeah, but were they denied bending? Or were they just not born with it?
I feel like they feel like they're denied the privilege and power and status of benders.
I guess.
Like, obviously, they weren't denied bending by anyone other than, like, the universe or the spirit world. No. But I feel them, denied is like, you know, we are marginalized. Whatever they think is happening in this bending world. Which is also, I did very much enjoy the movie, like I said. But the Denied felt really underdeveloped to me.
Yeah,
I would
agree with that.
Like, their intro was awesome. I was like, oh, these people look really dope. We're getting some cool action. I'm immediately interested in old girl with the red band painted on her face.
That's always a good look.
And then we even get one that's going to be the, oh, maybe the Avatar's not so bad. I was like, okay, we'll see where that goes. And not really. They are very, very secondary to a villain that I think is interesting and compelling in a vacuum, but still does feel like we've seen this before. But yeah, the Denied was, they were denied more story development. Yeah. But yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because I was thinking about it too, and not to get too deep into it, but I dislike how after the original series, so much of Avatar seems to be about either restoring or maintaining the status quo. And that is frustrating for me. I feel like that's a lot of what Korra tries to do, and that's what this tries to do. And it's just like, nah. Because you're doing the thing until the turn. This is another one where the villain is making some points, or villains, I guess.
Right.
But they have to take it too far so that we know that they're wrong.
Yeah.
And we don't even consider making some, like, okay, in Korra, I guess they do make a little bit of an effort after the first season, but you don't really hear much about them. Like, it's not. It's a lot of keep things as they are. And I think that's something that I wish they would deviate from in their plot structure.
Although I will give them, to shoot them some bail on that, I think in this case, because this is, they're just starting Republic City, their status quo isn't, like, when we get to Korra, Republic City, we all live together, everybody's happy, there's no racism, is the status quo that's established. But for this movie, they're establishing that coming together. So for them, this isn't the status quo yet. It's the one that we know because we've seen Korra. But a villain shows up and is like, what's going on here? You hanging out with puddle people and fire fools? What are all these infidels doing here? So I feel like they are still trying to establish that, hey, let's be peaceful, let's come together. So for them, I think they are trying to change it up, which I do appreciate. But yeah, we saw Korra for 4 seasons.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, we know where that's going. But I did like the villain. It's like you said, the whole thing of making some points, but let's do something that makes us not on your side, which
I've
seen a bunch of times.
I think I wanted to like the villain, but once we got to, like, this is what the plan is, I was just like, I don't see how this accomplishes your goal.
The goal of the antagonist?
Yes. Like, it starts the path, I guess, but then you have to do the rest of it. And good fucking luck.
You gotta start somewhere. Baby steps.
I know. But, like, when the Hundred Years' War started, they were out there. They were doing it. He was like, yo, we gonna conquer the world. Let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. And this is like, yes, it's a great first step. But then the rest of the world's gonna be like, yo, what the fuck was that?
I mean, it is.
That's kind of fucked up.
It is day one of the plan.
That's true.
You really get very far.
I also like, I understand that this is a thing you can do and it probably helps for the kids. But man, did they really have to do that? When he has the thing, it's evil lighting. When Aang has the thing, it's good lighting. Nigga. I don't think the staff cares. Like, what?
Cassie, you know certain colors are evil and certain colors are good.
It's not even the colors they chose. It's just the fact that the color changes the moment someone oh, he got bad. It's like a mood ring.
It is a mood ring. It's a mood staff.
Crazy work.
But it adds to the visual beauty that I like about it.
Fair enough.
Like, I do like, you know, give me some color changes. Don't make it monotone. Let's get colorful. Yeah. Let's get bright.
Yeah.
So, story, not the most original, but it's Avatar, man. And I felt like this was kind of how we were going to be. Because you are, and I wouldn't say this is, Avatar is pretty, I think Avatar's old enough to qualify as nostalgia. We were kids.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. You famously hate nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to say that this movie is really like one that's reliant on nostalgia, but I am very much, give me this thing that I like, and I like this thing, unless you mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you are like, you got to give me something new with the thing. Don't just give it to me because of
yes,
the thing.
And from the jump, I wasn't really into this movie because I felt like the gang story was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's been told. We've seen a decent amount because of Korra of what happens after. I don't need another adult adventure of them. Like, I'm not going to say don't do it. It's an awful idea, but just like, it doesn't excite me in the way that, well, the new Avatar series did excite me. But yeah. So I think there was that, definitely. But, you know, I wanted to give it a shot, and I did. And it's not bad. It just didn't hit for me.
That's fair. It hit for me. So love that for me specifically. Also, very much enjoyed the voice performances.
That was part of it, too. And I know that's not fair. But when I hear Young Aang and he don't sound like Young Aang, I'm like, who's this nigga? That ain't you. That ain't you. Like, when they do the thing in that one part where some of them are, the young versions of them in that weird, I'm like, that ain't you. Who's this hoe? I don't know him.
That was an interesting
not
one.
Not my avatar.
If, hashtag not my avatar. That one felt specifically like, yeah, we're not going to change the voices like we changed the images here.
Because
they all still sounded
like. But even
like,
in the beginning, because you get Young Aang in the beginning.
Yeah.
Talking to Gyatso. And even that, I was like, okay, I get that you cast somebody else, but I wish you hadn't. Like, and Gyatso too. I was like, yeah, I love Francois Chow, but that's not Gyatso.
I mean,
what are we doing?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was the kid playing Aang a kid when the show came out?
You know, that's a lovely question.
I think he was.
Which,
like,
I don't know. The
I don't know if you can get that voice back. Like,
that's fair.
Dude, don't sound like that no more.
That's fair.
And that's one of the things about doing animation, working with kids, depending on how old they are. It's like, Mae Whitman gonna sound like Mae Whitman. That's Mae Whitman's voice and everything. So, yeah, if that kid was a kid. You
know, okay, yeah, he was 12.
Yeah, he was Aang's age. So we got to worry what we got.
Yeah.
I still have mixed feelings about Dante Basco not being Zuko.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that nobody is voiced by the same person.
Right, if you had some of them the same voice, and then it'd be like, why are you?
If Dante Basco's here and nobody else came back, it's like, well.
Right.
But I don't know. I love Steven Yeun. He's really good. He was good for what we got Zuko to do here.
Yeah.
All right. So I liked it more than you.
Yeah.
You thought it was fine. I thought it was really dope. We both agree. Visuals are dope. Looks really pretty.
Also, just Aang, you don't need to look for random solutions. Just get into some backbending and you'll be fine.
Get into some backbending. People have been thirsting a lot since they revealed the character designs for these.
Really?
You haven't seen that?
Oh, what? Okay, so I think for me, I would have a hard time thirsting over the gang because I first encountered them as children. And I know that they're not anymore, but it's just that I there's something there. I can't quite make that jump.
Interesting. I get that. That's something I feel more with, like, real people. But I understand it because of the way I feel about real people. But people have been thirsting over Zuko. People have been, but it's mostly the villain.
That makes
mostly
sense.
Mostly the main guy.
He big, he buff.
Yeah. Swole as hell.
Yeah.
That's not where I was going to go with that. Where I was going to say before the thirst conversation is so many shots of this, I look and I'm like, ooh, that would look really cool on a big screen. And I am not one of those. Everything should come out on the big screen. Streaming services are the devil. They should never exist. Nobody should ever watch a movie on a screen smaller than IMAX. I personally, for like accessibility reasons, I love movies coming out on streaming as early as possible for people who maybe can't go to the movie theater. Some people are agoraphobic. Some people don't do well in crowds. Some people
also, it's probably going to have captions or subtitles built in as opposed to like, you remember those things we had to hand out?
Yeah, those
at freaking ArcLight, you could like club someone to death.
Those sci-fi movie weapons that have the captions on them. Yeah, so I understand people's reservations of like, oh no, the faster the movie goes to streaming, the less the, how will we give money to the arts and the, but like, as far as I want everyone to be able to watch the movies as soon as possible. But come on, y'all. Y'all decide we're going to put it in the theater. No, we're not. We're going to put it on streaming. Oops. The whole movie's out. We're going to put it in theater for like 5 days in two cities.
Yeah.
Like Paramount.
Yeah.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
What are we doing? It kind of does feel like Paramount is hanging Avatar out to dry. Like, I think the new series has a 2-season order of 13 episodes each. But we don't know. They might release all 26 at once, which I think would be a terrible idea. We don't know. We don't know. They haven't said what the cadence is going to be. And Korra, was Paramount, did they own Nick at the time of Korra?
I want to say yes.
Because they fucked that over in terms of just how it released. And now this, I'm like, what are you doing? Can we just be normal down?
It would not. But yeah, that's my thing. In an ideal world for me, movies would come out in theaters and at home for people who don't want to go to the theaters, and movie theaters would make their money, and actors would get paid, and artists would get paid, and nobody would worry that if someone watches a movie at home, that all of your movie theaters are going
to
shut down.
So that's an interesting thing, because Demi would have to correct me on this, but as far as I understand it, the people who made the movie have already been paid for the work that they did. Now, so that's what I wonder, is like the profits of the movie, do those go, because I don't know, maybe some people have, what's that called?
Back-end deals and all that?
Yeah, or like residuals or like that, you know? But I don't know, like, when a movie makes a bunch of money, how much of that goes to the people who made it and how much of that goes to the studio? So,
right.
But then I guess you say a movie did well and then you go, okay, so we have to milk it until there's nothing left and that gives people more work. So I guess it's a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. That's something I wonder about. It's like, you know, we say like, oh, you got to support the people who made the movie. And it's like, does this financially support them, or did they already get theirs? I don't know.
I feel like, depending on who you are and what kind of deals you have, like I feel like more above-the-line people, like Scarlett Johansson, when Black Widow came out, there was a whole thing about, I think Disney was like, oh yeah, this movie's going to make a certain amount, and you're going to get some of that. Then they put it on, you know, pandemic happened, and things changed, and she was like, well, hold on. But they didn't update the deals for the, like, what was happening, I think, and that was the issue that a lot of people were having. Like, you said that she was going to get this thing, and then she couldn't get that thing. You should have given her something. But I don't exactly know all the details of that. But then you have people, like, when Obsession came out and made all the money, and you have people below the line who are like, hey,
art director being like, yo,
we only made this amount, but it's also a situation of the budget for this movie was $1 million. The budget wasn't what the box office was. And I don't know.
Right. And you were paid before they knew what the box office was.
Right. We got a budget and we paid everybody with the budget. But
while you were doing the work, because that's what you do.
Which also, in an ideal world, if you put in work on a movie that makes so much money, you'd also make a lot of money. That would be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hollywood's, it's an interesting place. I don't know enough
that's
about
it. That's a word for it. Yeah.
To be talking about it that much. But here we are anyway.
Well, Demi's not here. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, everyone should have enough money. That's my take. That's my brave stance.
All right. That's a stance.
I feel like Zahir would say the same thing.
Maybe. I can't tell. I don't know if he would go more radical.
Zahir would probably go kill whoever owns Paramount.
Because I'm over here like, money shouldn't exist at all.
I get that.
I don't understand why money has to exist, but
that actually sounds more like Zaheer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole Red Lotus gang.
Oh God. Am I Zaheer?
I mean, great character.
Great character.
Great character. All right. Mm-hmm. Seems we have gotten off the movie we're talking about. So that seems like a good enough time to wrap that up. Avatar Aang. It's on Paramount Plus. I like it a whole lot. Cassie thinks it's fine.
You should watch it though, just to give it the viewing numbers so that Paramount knows that people care.
Yeah, because I feel like if they get an excuse, they're going to be like, we're not doing Avatar anymore. Sorry, Avatar Studios.
Yep.
And I do think I would recommend it to people who are a fan of the show, at least as something to try.
Yeah.
A lot of what people like about the show is there, even if some of it is, we like it about the show because we already saw it in the show.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, you could have a better experience than I have of like, you could say, oh, I saw this. Let's do it again. Run it back.
True. Run that back.
You never know.
We're in a run it back culture.
God, we are.
Yes, you are not a fan of that.
No.
But on to something that maybe you're a fan of or maybe not. I don't know. Your 10-minute take. What did you watch?
All right. So this 10-minute take, I watched the first 10 minutes of Intergalactic on Netflix.
Oh, I just put that back on the list.
Yeah. It was interesting. So
Okay. Here's
my thing. Mm-hmm. The art style is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But that animation did not work for me.
Interesting. So you like the style of it, but not the way it's animated.
Well, I like the way it looks, not the way it moves.
Okay.
Because I think that oftentimes people be like, oh, the animation style, when what they mean is the art style.
Yeah, it is. People use like...
And I think in this one, I could clearly tell a difference because they show it and like there's a sunset and it is gorgeous and the colors. And I'm like, yes, this is beautiful. And then I watch people move and I'm like, y'all look a bit janky.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. That was kind of threw me off. But I mean, other than that, I guess it's... I don't really know what Intergalactic is because I never watched it when it came out.
Right.
So I assume it gets weird.
Is that because of the name or the Kid Cudi of it all that you think it gets weird?
I think more the name. I don't know a lot about Kid Cudi.
Yeah, it's just a rom-com.
Oh.
Like, it's an animated Netflix rom-com.
Oh. Okay.
There are elements of it. So there are, I can't remember exactly what happens in the first 10 minutes, but you do get like artistic descriptions and storytelling. Like sometimes someone will tell a story and the animation will change. Like they do fun stuff
that. Okay.
Or he'll daydream about art.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah, billboards will come to life and blah, blah, blah. But the story itself is grounded in reality.
And that's fine. I think that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Is like, does it get weird in like the visuals and how it depicts things? And I think because the title just makes me think, okay, we're going to get a little out there, so to speak.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it was fairly, the first 10 minutes were fairly straightforward. He's moving into a new place. His friends are like, yo, you should... They didn't say stripper poles. I don't know why he imagines stripper poles when his friend's like, yo, you should put in some stuff, like couches and shit. And he's just like, stripper poles. I don't get that. And the other one's like, yo, you should grow weed. He's like, nah, I ain't doing that. Which, fair. It's probably not the best thing to do when you're renting a place. Because, you know.
Might not want to step right into the weed business.
Yeah. But then he runs into his ex. And clearly he is still so down bad for this girl. My God.
Yeah, I remember that.
She's like, yo, what you doing? He's like, yo, I work at a comic shop. They want me to turn what I assume is his original character into a comic or something.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, that's big. We should get a drink. He's like, yeah. And his friends are like, nah, don't talk to her. Blah, blah, blah. Don't have her in your life anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Thing that people tend to do about exes, which I don't really understand, but
I think it depends on the ex.
But then he's like, yo, I want to see you tonight. I mean, he doesn't say it with that emphasis, but it's there.
Yeah, you feel it.
And then, yeah, they go out, and where I ended was them getting shots of tequila.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to light-skinned Timothy Chalamet already? Dude with the fade?
Is that his friend?
Yeah.
With, like, shaved head?
Mm-hmm.
Then yes.
So that's my favorite Timothy Chalamet character in performance. But
what's Timothy Chalamet?
It's so funny to me that that's Timothy Chalamet. What? Because
that's crazy.
So he has that clean-ass fade, and... To my memory, at least a few people, it's probably like a vocal minority. People were upset because they thought Timothy Chalamet was playing a black character because they thought that was just a light skinned dude because of that crisp ass fade and the way he talked. They're like, nah, it's just Timothy Chalamet with a fade.
So define for me what a wigger would be. Now, is that a black person who asked white, or is it the other way around?
The other way around.
So kind of what we got going on here-ish. Ish. Well, it's like, at what point are we separating, and I hate to use the term, but like urban from black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you grow up in a certain area, and this is how people talk, you are going to talk and act in that way.
Right.
But you're not necessarily like just appropriating black culture, or you are, but you don't mean to be doing it because that's just the culture that's around you. I don't know.
The best way I can respond to that, and I'm glad I have an excuse to bring up Blindspotting, is Miles from Blindspotting.
Yeah. Is
born and raised in Oakland and speaks like that because that's where he's from. And right. The scene at the party when he gets in the fight with that dude,
mm-hmm.
who sees him as a, quote, wigger,
mm-hmm.
because of the way Miles talks like a dude from Oakland. But even when that dude goes to talk about Miles,
mm-hmm.
the way he's like acting out Miles isn't how Miles actually talks. He was putting these extras mm-hmm. on it, like, this is how a white boy would talk if he's trying to sound black.
Right.
Like, what up, my bro? And it's like, yeah, Miles calls you bruh because that's how they talk out there. But the way you did it was like, what up, my bruh? It's like, okay, so you're putting these extras on how you perceive. Unfamiliarity
with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How you perceive a white boy appropriating. But Miles is just a hood white boy.
Yeah.
I don't remember your question, but something like that.
Watch Blindspotting.
Yeah, watch Blindspotting.
That's really the conclusion.
That's the thesis of the podcast, to be honest. Every episode.
Really, it is.
It's, the tagline is Watch Blindspotting.
Made Even by if you don't say it, it's there.
Close personal best friend of the podcast, Davy Diggs and Rafael Kassar.
You won't see it, but it's there.
It's there.
You just got to see it differently.
All right. I'm going to find a way to work Blindspotting into every episode from now on.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I've found a way to do it. All right. So you saw 10 minutes. We got your take.
Here.
Yeah, I just put it on there because we were trying to find more black stuff.
Here.
And initially when I put it on, I was like, I like this thing and it looks pretty. Maybe put it on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, would Cassie care about this thing just because it looks pretty? Probably not. But then we need more black stuff. Put it back on.
Yeah.
We love a 10 minute take. All right. I don't have a what you're watching. So I looked down, looked back up, and there was a completely different person in the shot. Anyway, I don't have a what you're watching. It's been Avatar for me today.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? You got one?
I mean, I could do a what you're watching if you want.
Do you want to?
Sure. So my partner and I, we started doing a thing when we first moved into this apartment called Saw Sundays, where every Sunday we'd watch a Saw movie.
Of course.
And I was looking for other stuff because we finished those. Mm. And so now our thing is the Paranormal Activity movies.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I see a lot of parallels between Saw 1 and 2 and Paranormal Activity 1 and 2 in that the first one is solid. It establishes a baseline. You kind of understand what it is. And then the second one is like, oh, shit, this is good.
Okay.
Y'all did it. Because Paranormal Activity, let me tell, that movie is so good. And part of the reason it's so good is because of how it connects to the first one.
I do remember that.
But it's just like, yo, that movie is so good.
Nice.
And just, Like, I don't want to say too much because what makes it so good is primarily spoiler stuff.
Right.
But the way that it ties into the first one and how it does it in a way that works makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
Because sometimes you get stuff like that where it's like the sequel was a prequel, blah, blah, blah. And then it's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, you really tried to force that. But this one feels natural in the way that it does it. And
yeah, I haven't seen the second one either of them in a long time. But I do remember it feeling like, oh, cool, that makes sense. Not like,
yeah,
that was secretly his mother the whole time. Like, it's not like that kind of.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But it's good. Paranormal Activity 1. I mean, 1 is solid. I'm not saying it isn't, but 2. It's good. It's good. Also, white people.
Uh-oh.
Stop getting Ouija boards. I don't care if you don't believe in it. I don't care if you say, oh, I'm not really going to use it. You're going to use it, and it's going to be evil. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just don't. I mean, all people don't use Ouija boards, but white people seem the most tempted.
In fairness to these white people specifically, the Ouija board wasn't catalyst. Like, they got it after we
It was not.
Yeah. So I don't think the Ouija board really made a difference.
The Ouija board was trying to warn them,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
So
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe everybody buy a Ouija board and bring it to your home.
No.
No?
No, no,
not
no.
That?
No, no, no.
Okay.
I think don't mess with it. I think just don't. Just don't. It's not worth it. Because this is the one time where it was like, yeah, the Ouija board was actually kind of helpful. But most of the time when you see someone use a Ouija board, it's like, yo, you're going to die.
It is, you're going to die. But I do think, and I'm not advocating for using Ouija boards because I'll mess with that, but I do think in most of these movies, it's a situation of the Ouija board is telling you this is the problem. The Ouija board isn't the problem, except maybe the movie Ouija, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of that. I was like,
But yeah, I feel like telling people not to use it is kind of like the whole, if we don't test for COVID, the numbers won't go up. Hey, we don't see it. You still got the COVID in your house.
You're inviting spirits into your home through this, theoretically. Yeah.
Theoretically, yes.
And you can't know for sure which spirits you're going to get. And so I feel like maybe just don't invite them in the first place.
That's a good point.
Especially in a case like this where you already kind of have one. Deal with that first.
Yeah, you might get a whole gang in there.
Yeah.
You might bring the homies in like, oh, they got a Ouija board. Everybody, we coming through. It's Ouija night. But cool.
Yeah.
Love that for y'all.
Yeah.
Love your thriving in your full horror girly fan life.
I mean, I'll be honest. The Paranormal Activity movies are rough. Because by their very nature, they rely very heavily on like the actual jump scares and then the, oh fuck, there's something in the corner that you didn't see for the first couple seconds, which is rough. And this, the second one does like security cameras where it like cuts between them. And so you're always like, oh God, is something different? Oh God, is something different? Is something going to attack the camera? So that was rough, but I'm doing my best.
Even something that should be moving, if it moves in a Paranormal Activity, you're like, why is it moving? Why is the Roomba moving? It's like, it's a Roomba. No, it's possessed. Like, that's what Roombas do, bro. But it shouldn't be moving. Nothing should ever move. Why are things moving?
I feel like we're going on for too long, but there's so much focus, not so much, but there's enough focus on the pool vacuum in the second one, which isn't anything that matters. But like, did you move it? You move. Why is it out the pool? What's that? I'm like, the fuck is that? And it's just like, it doesn't really matter. But every time it cut to the pool, I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? What's that vacuum up to?
What is it sucking? But yeah, that's don't make that face. We're talking about vacuums.
Didn't think we'd talk about demonic sucking.
You never know where we'll go on this, the Creative Differences podcast.
We don't have to meet a limit us.
All right, that's what you're watching. You're getting spooky again, as you always do.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Not always, but frequently.
Enough that, like, I'm not surprised. All right, is there anything in the news that you're excited about?
You know, I feel like there should be, given that as we are recording this, Comic-Con is ending?
I think so.
I don't know how that... Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the last day.
I mean, I am interested in the Blade Runner TV show that is closer and closer to actually existing.
Okay. Is that the one with Michelle Yeoh?
Yes, Michelle Yeoh and Hunter Schafer.
Oh, cool.
I am also kind of interested in Neuromancer, because that's like... the defining cyberpunk text.
Okay.
I don't know that it's the genesis, but it's like, if you want to understand cyberpunk, this is the foundational text.
Is it a book?
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently the author of the book is like thrilled with how the show's going, so that's exciting.
Love that.
Because that's always a risk, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to Children of Blood and Bone.
But he's like, nah, I'm into it, so.
Yeah. Love when it goes that way, not the other way.
Yeah.
Speaking of Comic-Con, I'm excited for Marvel stuff because look who I am.
Yep.
I didn't know we were getting a Ghost Rider movie, to be honest. And that's not even
I don't think anyone did.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, Ghost Rider. I love Ryan Gosling. And having seen The Fall Guy, I think this is honestly kind of really funny casting, but also great because that whole movie is about, and it's a love letter to stuntmen. Ghost Rider's a daredevil, so it's a little different than a stuntman, but they're both daring. They both jump off of stuff.
I assume / hope this is white Ghost Rider.
It better be. No, there's no way they would make him the Hispanic. Robbie Reyes. That would be crazy. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
What are the chances? Actually, never mind, because I feel like I know the answer. I was going to say, what are the chances that Nicolas Cage shows up in that? But given that he's already playing a Marvel character, I feel like the chances are pretty high that he'll just at least be in the background. It's not like he's already on the lot. They probably don't let them go. They just lock them in rooms. Like,
yeah,
we'll come back to you.
He's a...
The Eternals actors, no one's seen them in a decade.
Yeah, they're still in that basement. They're in the vault. Nicolas Cage is currently locked up, as he should be, because I forgot he's on my lock 'em up list for Long Legs.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay. I can see it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Don't let him out. But more importantly, my guy, my boy, this actor that I've seen twice and don't really know personally, David Johnson, he is Black Panther. And I'm so excited because...
Wait, so he is Black Panther specifically?
Yes.
Like, is Shuri abdicating?
I don't know how it's going to work.
Maybe after, because, maybe she bites it in Secret Wars.
Maybe. I don't know how it's going to work, because in Black Panther 2, we meet this little ass boy. And he's like, I'm T'Challa. My dad's T'Challa. And David Johnson is playing that boy. So something happened. He's older now. Time travel, portals,
multiverse,
science, magic, comic book nonsense.
Yeah.
Boy grew up. Now he's David Johnson. I don't know how it works, but I'm excited.
Huh.
David Johnson's a great actor. Ryan Coogler is the best director. Argue with your mama. And Black Panther is the best thing that the MCU was ever going to give us. So we're getting a third one.
You're not wrong there.
Right? We're getting a third one. Great director. Great actor. Great black people. We love to see it.
I hope it gets a subtitle and isn't just Black Panther 3. I assume it will. And they just don't know yet. But
oh, maybe. I don't know.
Black Panther, T'Challa again. But not that one.
Black Panther 3, holla at T'Challa. I like that.
I hate it.
I like that. Oh, you hate it? Oh, okay.
But I'm not making the decision. So yeah, maybe.
You don't work for Marvel? You're not Jane Marvel? Anyway, it's just that. It's those two things. There are lots of other things that happen, but this ain't a Comic-Con episode, so I'm going to talk about those.
Yep.
Guess what we got, Cassie?
Do tell.
We got different opinions. We got some comments.
What?
Yep, people talking to us. Who would have thought? Not me.
Right?
So.
Love it.
Starting it off, speaking of black people, Instagram, we have a comment on our post about Strung. Remember Strung? That movie that was Blumhouse and Tyler Perry?
Spooky Tudor movie?
Give him
a choke during sex?
Yep, that one. That one. Chloe Bailey gives Anna Diop a bath. That movie. Anyway, comment from...
I mean, congratulations.
To all involved. Comment from Blue Moon Lycan, a.k.a. our homie, Marcellus.
Hey!
Actual close friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole thing about Strung in that Instagram post and everywhere else was, I don't know what I expected. That's kind of the theme of that review. Mm-hmm. Marcellus said, I didn't know what to expect either, but I was going to see. And yeah, that's how I ended up watching the movie.
Fair enough.
Saw the trailer. Didn't know what to expect. Saw it. I don't know what I expected. And that's Strung. Anyway, moving over to TikTok, we have a few comments on our Legend of Vox Machina TikTok.
Oh.
Yeah, people still on that. Love that. Shout out to the Vox. I don't know. I don't know. A dude named Lloyd said, sorry to knack, but the events of Mighty Nein take 20 years after the Legend of Vox Machina.
Okay.
Yeah, Demise said, this was so long ago. I think Demise said it was like 30 years in between, or she said 10. I don't know.
Okay.
Either way, a few people have come in and be like, hey, it's 20. Aha, cool. I don't know why I said haha. They weren't like laughing at her. They were like, just so you know, it's 20. She was like, cool. Thank you for the correction. Appreciate y'all. It's all been very nice. Very nice fandom interactions.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Comment from someone named Vanarama. Love that. This one says, Vox Machina Misty stepped so the Mighty Nein could dimension door. And I'm sure that means something.
So they're Misty Step and Dimension Door are spells in D&D.
Okay.
Misty Step, they're both teleportation spells. Mm. I think Dimension Door is like a better one. I don't know. I've never played characters who've leveled up enough to get those spells, so I don't know. Yeah. I think it's like, you know, walk so it could run.
Definitely Misty Step,
Dimension. Yeah.
That's parallel. That you are here. Because I don't know. But I also appreciate the structure of this comment is structured so that even not knowing those two things, I know what it means.
Yeah. Well, see, yes and no, because sometimes people like invert that.
Oh, that's true. Like, oh, so-and-so walked, so-and-so could stumble down a hill or whatever.
Crawl or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know what this means anymore. Either way, you like one and you like the other one more or less. Happy for you. And last comment on Legend of Vox Machina from Ivan Savi 2 says, I like the Mighty Nein way more. There's so much more queer representation there.
Oh, nice.
Love that for you. Haven't seen it, but we love representation.
Okay, so quick. Dimension Door, you can teleport within 30 feet.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, Misty Step, 30 feet. Dimension Door, 500 feet.
Ooh, big step.
And you can bring people with you. Yeah, Misty Step is just like, you can go somewhere within 30 feet. Dimension Door is like within 500 feet. You can carry objects. You can carry a person. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you miss your step and you basically need to get your money up, you just step it up.
Yeah.
What are you even doing? Why are you not Dimension Dooring? Get it together.
Yeah.
Weak ass Misty Step. All right. That's what it feels like when you describe it like that. Like, oh, you jumped 30 feet. I saw you from over there. I'm over here moving 500 feet with the whole gang. What you doing?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go 30 feet at a time. We'll wait for you, I guess. Apologies to all the Misty Steppers out there. No personal judgment. Anyway, Supergirl, We made a TikTok about Supergirl. Someone's named Jos. I really wish I knew how to pronounce all these names. Said, agreed, she kills that role.
Nice.
So, yeah, cool. Man, what's her name? Supergirl.
Millie Alcock?
Millie Alcock, thank you so much. She was very good. She was very good. People have varying thoughts on the movie. Everybody's pretty much like, she was very good. For the most part, there are some people who are angry that a woman is super or whatever. But we need to get to that. We did that last time. And that has been Different Opinions. Thank you for your comments. Keep them coming. We'll keep commenting on them. Hopefully, every time there will be someone here who understands the comment. We're nerds, and we talk about stuff that we're nerds about, but we're not all nerds about the same things. So sometimes the nerdum doesn't overlap.
Yeah, yeah. Venn diagram doesn't always.
Exactly. Sometimes it's just two circles on the other sides of the paper. But what you need to remember is, if you are Misty Stepping while someone else is Dimension Dooring, you need to step your game up. Misty Step your game up. Ha-ha! Ah. All right. It's not going to get better than that.
You did that.
Yeah. Time to close it out.
All right.
Thank you, audience. Thank you for listening to us be silly for about 45 minutes. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here for. We appreciate you. We love you.
We stay silly.
We stay silly. Stay silly so we ain't got to get silly. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon and Io, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as always. Thank you, Demi, for editing and putting us on YouTube. We appreciate your service. Cassie, thank you for tag teaming this review with me because, you know, if not, I'm not going to do this by myself. I'm just going to yell into a microphone alone like a middle-aged comedian. Audience, as always, you can reach us in the comments or hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, or TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. If you want to talk to me about Avatar or how dope it is that David Johnson is in the MCU now, or how dope it is that Ryan Gosling is also in the MCU now, whatever you want to talk about, I'm here. I'm on the internet. I'm on Instagram at The King Name Symbol.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer. Talk to me about the way that marketing is done and when it is successful and not. Because I think Comic-Con is a lot of that. And sometimes you'll see an activation, which we shouldn't call them that, and go, oh, that's clever. And then sometimes you're like, y'all know what the fuck that was. And so, yeah.
An activation?
Activation. It's a term that's used a lot at conventions. Like an experience, like a thing where you go and you see the thing and maybe there's an actor and they say some shit in character or whatever. They often get called activations. I don't know why.
I don't either. All right. Yeah. Talk to Cassie about that. If you want to talk to Gabby, she's on Blue Sky at Wetter Than Qatar. And if you want to talk to Demi, you good? You good, Cassie?
No, but keep going.
Sorry. If you want to talk to Demi, you can find her on Blue Sky at Backbending for Taga.
Okay.
Okay. That better or worse?
Well, it's not. I don't know.
That's fair. All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
So this tag is going to be similar to the last time I did I'm the so-and-so of the so-and-so. If I'm not Zahir of the podcast, who am I?
If you're not the Zahir of the podcast, I mean, I feel like this is perhaps too easy, but Sokka just comes to mind.
I figured you were going to say that. I'm not mad at that.
You are funny. You are a good source of cohesion. I don't know that you do a lot of like inventing, but I feel like you could.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. I'll take that.